The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races!
Some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Everyone who knows this podcast knows that Wednesday shows are my favorite shows, and I am ready to talk about some trade value here. I love it. Michael Thomas, what should you get or give for Michael Thomas? What about Jonathan Taylor? I'm trying to make a trade offer right now involving Jonathan Taylor, and Dave is shutting it down. And welcome, everybody.
Negan style. No exceptions.
Adam, that is Dave. Hello, Heath.
Hi, Adam.
What's the matter, Heath?
There's nothing the matter at all.
Grumpy.
It's a wonderful morning. I'm not grumpy at all. I don't think I even received any A's or offers last night, so I have nothing to be grumpy about.
He didn't try and trade you some spur of the wide receiver for the next great breakout tight end?
I offered Dave Sammy Watkins for Noah Fant, and it was turned down. What would you like? Go ahead. Look at my team. What would you take Darius Slayton for Noah Fant?
Ooh. That would at least be a little more interesting, but probably not.
Wow.
Maybe.
That's wow. Okay. All right. Well, we'll work on it. Michael Thomas is the lead here. We're going to talk about him and his trade value. And then Jonathan Taylor, we'll give you the news and the notes. We got some player debates today. Austin Eckler versus Kenyon Drake versus Jonathan Taylor. Adam Thielen versus Calvin Ridley versus Chris Godwin. We'll just kind of reassess some value right now. We will preview the Thursday night game and give you risers and fallers and read your emails and your Apple Podcast questions later on in the show. What is your overall level of enthusiasm for the Thursday night game? I think I'm about a three. I think the Browns are boring. What do you think?
I actually have Fant and Slayton is even on the trade chart.
Hey,
maybe I'll give it some legitimate thought. Yes, I will. Yeah. I'm excited for any football game at this point.
I mean, yes, I look, of course I'm excited for football, but we can be honest. Some games I'm more excited about than others. Browns, but Bengals is not really, even with Burrow, I don't know. I'm not really.
No, this is a fascinating game. Really. Mm-hmm. You've got is Kevin Stefanski as bad as last year? And so, it actually wasn't the coaching last year. Baker Mayfield's just terrible angle. You've got the Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb angle. I think...
How about the Joe Burrow angle?
Joe Burrow. I think the Odell Beckham and AJ Green might just be exceptional buy low candidates at wide receiver, and that might be ruined on Thursday night. I think they might both be awesome in that game. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to see it.
I think both Bengals receivers are excellent buy low candidates right now. Green looked great. I know that the stat line doesn't say it, but he looked really good out there in week one.
Yeah, I know. He had two almost touchdowns. You got to love him.
It's really good. Yeah.
He was wide open for one and Burrow missed him. And so did you go back and watch that game?
I watched parts of it. What I came back away from it was that the Bengals defense is still not great. Their offensive line is terrible. It is. Like we talked up, well, it'll be a little bit better with Jonah Williams there and all that. Oh my God, it's bad. And it's getting worse. They're starting Billy Price at right guard against Cleveland. And the one thing the Browns defense did remotely well in week one was slow down the run of the Ravens. So I'm a little nervous about Joe Mixon this week. I think you're going to start him anyway, but he could end up having some tough times and he didn't play passing down. So it was Geo. It could be frustrating. We could be looking at a buy low opportunity for Mixon here in a couple of days.
I actually have both Browns running backs ranked ahead of Joe Mixon right now.
He did get what, 19 carries?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Something like that. It's funny that like he got, I think in that game, he and Austin Eckler received the exact same workload. And like warning alarms going off all over the place for first round pick Austin Eckler. And everybody's just like, yeah, Joe Mixon got 19 carries.
No, I think there's definitely some concern about Joe Mixon. Based on tweets and emails, I'm seeing some concern about Mixon, but this happens. I mean, you know, this happens. People freak out about offensive lines, and they are right to do it. But
well, I think the bigger concern is the fact that Team Geo got 5 targets in that game.
Yeah, well, we'll see if it's a trend. All right, we're going to preview
they're
that game
big concerns.
In a little bit. Let's talk about Michael Thomas. So he's not convinced that he's going to miss a lot of time, but there was a report that he'll miss several weeks. They're considering putting him on IR, which is only 3 weeks, at least 3 weeks this year. He's got an ankle sprain, high ankle sprain, and you certainly should not expect Michael Thomas this week. But what is his trade value? Give me a wide receiver that you would take, that you would give up to get Michael Thomas at this point.
I've got him in the same spot in the trade chart as guys like Allen Robinson, Robert Woods. In non-PPR, he's there with A.J. Brown, D.J. Moore, D.K. Metcalf. And that's on the assumption that he misses just a few games and that when he comes back, he's mostly fine. That could be too big of an assumption. We've seen the high ankle sprain really slow down players in the past, and it takes them a long time to get over. I don't think people should just give away Michael Thomas. I think they just need to just wait this one out unless somebody comes with a really good offer.
Everyone who followed the Ben Gretsch method of drafting receivers needs to be going to make a trade offer for Michael Thomas. Because I agree with Dave of that range of wide receiver. You might go a little lower and be able to get him. You might have to pay a little bit more. But if you drafted 4 of those receivers from round 2 through 6, and so you have a surplus of wide receivers, and you have a lot of guys in that range, that's exactly the team that should be going to try to trade for Thomas, because you can still start 3 wide receivers. You can not use Thomas, find a flex somewhere else, and then when he comes back, you are just stacked.
Okay, and
that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing here. Whoever has Michael Thomas and be hot potato across fantasy leagues for the next couple of weeks, whoever ends up with him and is 500 or better when he comes back, I mean, in theory, you've got your ticket punch for the playoffs and you'll be a legit contender for the crown. So that's why I'm not going to be in such a huge hurry to dump Michael Thomas. But if 2 weeks from now I'm 0-3, Michael Thomas is sitting on my bench, I need a win, that's when I'll start taking some offers on him.
Got to bring up Saquon Barkley, who came back too early from a high ankle sprain and was pretty lousy for a few weeks. And then he won, you know, he was a league winner down the stretch. He was incredible. But, you know, got to bring that up. He definitely was playing through something. He said he had a kind of a separate injury after he came back. It wasn't the same, you know, re-aggravation, but he did come back pretty quickly. So that possibility does exist, but it's a risk worth taking in the Robert Woods range, something like that, if you want to give up a wide receiver. Jonathan Taylor or Michael Thomas, rest of season?
Taylor, which I said yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got called out on it.
I'd probably take Thomas in PPR.
Really? No. I mean, no. If we were redrafting today and you knew that you couldn't have Michael Thomas until maybe week 5, and if not week 5, then it's got to be week 7. You're really going to take him ahead of Jonathan Taylor?
But I think it's also possible it's week 3 or 4.
Okay. I'd be surprised. That would be surprising, and I guess maybe that's baked into his value a little bit, and it's all the more reason why you shouldn't mortgage him off now.
Jonathan Taylor, let's talk. Oh, wait. You want to do a quick round of Fantasy Cops? This is a fun one. Ready? All right. Fantasy Cops are here. David Ontario says, we just had an 0-1 team trade Michael Thomas for Darius Slayton. Half PPR. Are we at the mercy of the no veto rule here? It's a clear overreaction before we have any concrete info. Michael Thomas for Darius Slayton. What do the cops say?
We've got a 2601 on a dumbass trader in a fantasy league, but there's nothing we can do about it. Over.
All right. Cool. Thanks, dispatch. That's what I said too. I replied to the email, said it's got to stand. Is it that bad of a trade? Grade the trade.
It's bad.
Okay. F.
All right. Darius Slayton was better than Thomas in week 1, so.
Who will be better rest of season?
I think it's clearly Slayton. I mean, look how good he did that against the Steelers. Come on.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Jonathan Taylor. So he had 6 catches for 67 yards. He also had 9 carries for 22 yards. Is he a first round pick if we were drafting today?
I think he'd be pretty close. Because now there's no Marlon Mack. There's no one stopping him. He's got that clear runway to fantasy football takeoff. He could very easily end up finishing as a top 12 fantasy running back.
Heath, I don't think Heath is feeling it as much.
Well, that's probably not surprising, but I would say he's a second round pick. Okay. It's just there's only 12 spots in the first round. And I don't think I would. I'm not certain like he's going to just smash week two and smash from that point forward. I still expect Nyheim Hines to get a pretty big share of the work since he did last week. I think Hines actually played 53% of the snaps in week one. So I think Taylor is going to be good, and I love the talent, and I'd take him in the second round, but I don't think he's quite a first round pick.
Non-PPR, I think he could creep into the very end of round one. Full PPR, no way. But I think he'd be close to like 17th, 16th or 17th.
I mean, Dave,
full PPR.
You say full PPR, no way, but he just had 6 catches. Like, is this not the Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler backfield now just in a different time zone?
It could be. But there's still is there still enough to go around? Is he really going to get 6 catches every single week? Or do we really think Nyheim Hines is going to get 8 catches every week?
Well, I think it's important to look at, and the same thing with Paris Campbell. Like they threw 46 passes. We were talking about this as one of the most run heavy teams. I think realistically, we expect them to throw 33% fewer times moving forward on a weekly basis. So I think you can reduce everyone's, like, but that still puts Jonathan Taylor at 4 catches.
Yeah, I mean, I think that my impression was going into the season that he would not have a lot of catches, not have a lot of work in the passing game. Now I feel like he could be on pace for 50, which obviously, you know, it's a big number.
But my impression was that the Colts offensive line was like this behemoth that was the best in the league, and it still might be really, really good, but the first week of evidence we saw was pretty crappy.
I think it's going to be pretty good. I mean, come on. Like,
I do too.
I can't sit here.
If there's a concern, it's Phillip Rivers.
They had a bad game. They had a bad week, you know. I don't want to overreact too much, but I don't think there's any way you can look at the Colts offensive line and not consider it to be a major strength at this point.
Yep.
Right? One game in.
Unless it looks like it did week one and week two.
Maybe.
Sure. But if you had seen some of the other offensive lines around the league, you would take the Colts in a heartbeat. You would say, that's a good offensive line.
Yeah. You know what else you should take in a heartbeat? How about some free money from Honey? Mm. Joinhoney.com/FFT. It's a browser extension. You pop it on. It takes like 5 seconds to put on your computer. And then it saves you money when you shop online. Dave, didn't you say your kids use Honey all the time?
They use it constantly when they spend my money on things like impulse purchases like desks and pillows.
Yes. And for me, it's when I'm grocery shopping, I save money with Honey. When I get these headphones right here, I remember bought these a few years ago with Honey, and I saved $3 or $4 on them. So I bought a Miami Hurricanes poster a few weeks ago, and it was supposed to go behind me right here on the wall, but didn't have any room for it. Saved 10%. I remember whatever. I think it was 10. Yeah, it was 10% with Honey. So how does it work? You know, we all shop online, and you enter a promo code. I don't have a promo code. Well, Honey, if you have the browser extension, it just looks for all the promo codes, and it finds one, and it applies it, and it saves you money. It's so easy. You don't have to do anything. It's amazing. It's free browser extension, and it scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one finds the best one and applies it to your cart. So you don't have to lift a finger to save money. You just go to joinhoney.com/FFT and you install it. Joinhoney.com/FFT. Go shopping. Get whatever you need. Get some clothes. Back to school stuff. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, and I use it all the time. So do Dave's kids. So take it from us. If you don't already have it, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free. It installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you're doing yourself a solid and you are supporting the Fantasy Football Today podcast. And we very, very much appreciate that. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/FFT. Joinhoney.com/FFT. And once you get it, by the way, you'll tell all your friends and your family about it because there's just no reason not to have honey. All right, James Conner has not been ruled out for week 2. We shall see. But his right tackle, Zach Banner, is out for the season. And guard Stefan Wisniewski for the Steelers will be questionable this week. Le'Veon Bell is on IR. He'll miss at least 3 weeks. The Jets signed Kalen Ballage. Heath,
that'll fix it.
Give me your thoughts on the Jets' backfield.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Nobody. They got San Francisco, then the Colts, then the Broncos the next 3 games.
You don't want to do any of that.
Were there any leagues that you guys picked? I think I did put in a bid for Frank Gore. I dropped Marlon Mack. I dropped Marlon Mack, and I just was like, maybe he gets 15 carries and can fall in the end zone. I won't start him, but
I felt kind of icky putting in a bid for Chris Herndon. Like, just having any Jets right now doesn't feel amazing. I know Jameson Crowder targets, Herndon targets, but it's the Jets.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it is the Jets. Crowder, as much as we love him, we're gonna talk about him later. He had a pretty fluky touchdown.
Yeah.
All right, what more? Denzel Mims is on IR for the Jets. Offensive holding calls were down 78% in week 1 compared to week 1, 2019. That's going to be good for fantasy.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if that was just a mandate from the league that we don't want this first week of football to be awful, and we know they haven't had any preseason, so don't call everything.
Maybe.
They did still call some things, like offensive pass interference. too many times.
Jeez. Man, it's weird for me to feel bad for the Cowboys, but I felt really bad for the Cowboys.
Be impartial.
Yeah, and the thing was, it's not like, oh, they caught that ball, they're going to tie the game. They could have won the game. They were set up for at least a shot or two.
It's easy to be impartial when you know your team's going anywhere this year.
Philip Lindsay's status is uncertain for the week. The 49ers signed Mohamed Sanu. Any interest in Mohamed Sanu?
No. And Lindsay has turf toe. He's got a case of turf toe, and that's usually a very frustrating injury to deal with. Sounds cute, turf toe, but it's not. It's painful. I would be surprised if he plays.
The way you say it, it does sound cute. Yes, turf toe. It's Philip Lindsay has turf toe. We're gonna say it like that every time. Brandon?
Let's just take one of the most debilitating injuries a player can have and make it sound cute.
How about Brandon Ayuk?
It's a torn Achilles.
Yeah. how about a torn ACL? Dave will call it the adorable cute ligament. Oh, God. How about Brandon Ayuk? See, even Heath is cracking a smile. He's cracking a smile, folks. Ayuk's 34% rostered, gets the Jets this week and the Giants next week, and he's probably their lead receiver, maybe in his first game, if he plays this week, which is a good chance.
And maybe no George Kittle.
That's right. Oh, a little sleeper here, Brandon Ayuk, 34%.
Yeah. I think he qualifies.
Okay. Philadelphia had some injuries defensively. Defensive end Vinnie Curry and defensive back Craig James. They could miss multiple weeks. They were already without Derek Barnett, but he might be able to play this week. Another one of their defensive ends.
And Brandon Graham's going to be okay?
I don't know. Is that a question?
Yes. That's why I asked you.
I couldn't tell. It was like a half question mark on the end of that.
I will do the research. If he's out, that's a big problem.
Denver.
Well, not for the Rams.
Cornerback AJ Boye likely out this week with a shoulder injury. KJ Hamler could return this week at wide receiver for the Broncos. Okay. Cortland Sutton, not sure.
No, Brandon Graham's in the concussion protocol.
Jeez, they're beat up.
If he doesn't play, yeah, I was worried about this. They're that team. Mm. They're that team. They're the Chargers of the East. Worse than usual.
And Allen Robinson wants a new contract, Heath. Doesn't seem happy about it. There's, you know, did he request a trade? Is he requesting a trade? His agent says no, but never a good situation. So do you approach Allen Robinson as the squeaky wheel is going to get greased, or this is a bad situation, or neither?
I'm not letting it factor into my week 2 rankings at all. I don't think, like, generally speaking, you don't like it if receivers get traded. It doesn't sound particularly likely that he's going to get traded. But if he did, any concern over learning a new offense would be made up by the fact that he'd probably have a much better quarterback. So, yeah, I'm just not paying it any attention at all.
And Anthony Miller is still rostered in just 66% of leagues, so that could be something that
he's a weird one because he did get the touchdown on week 1, but he played like 42% of the snaps.
And I was bringing that up too. It's like his touchdown was so I don't want to say fluky, but
it was the only really good play he made in the game.
Yeah, it's just the fact like they've got the Giants and the Falcons in their next two games. Yeah.
What I wrote yesterday was you need to add him just in case he blows up in one of these two games. But I don't think there's anything from week one that would tell you that you should use him as a starter.
Not even in the matchup against the Giants.
It's a pretty good matchup.
No. Yeah. I mean, he has like the Chase Claypool role.
What does that mean?
Maybe
a part-time player.
Yeah,
he's not getting 10 targets like Deontay Johnson, we don't think, and he's not Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm talking about they just played the Giants, so in that matchup, like if he's a 5-target guy, maybe he scores a touchdown.
Okay, all right, let's do some player debates. I was going to take a look at the most added list, but taking a look at the most added list would essentially be doing the waiver wire show over and over again. But Heath, you weren't on the waiver wire show, so would you like to give me your quick thoughts on Malcolm Brown and Josh Kelly and Nyheim Hines and Benny Snell?
I prioritized Hines. I was just looking through like the results of our waivers. I'm not sure that I got any of them in any of our leagues. I saw in one league, Benny Snell went for 80%. I prioritized Hines first, then Snell, then Malcolm Brown, then Kelly. I am pretty excited about all of them. I'm a little bit worried that like a lot of people are going to spend half their fab on Benny Snell and James Conner is going to play next week. So that was the one that I felt a little bit wishy-washy on. I'm going to be starting Malcolm Brown in a couple leagues, and Nyheim Hines I expect to be a top 20 running back in PPR for the rest of the way.
Yeah, we were talking about it on Twitch last night. Who would you rather have, James White or Nyheim Hines? And we did a poll on Twitch, and Nyheim Hines ran away with it. And that was my vote, and Jamie...
That's my vote.
Jamie started out on James White, and he's like, no, you know what? I think it's Nyheim Hines. So Dave, agreed? Unanimous?
No.
Really?
I'll go with James White.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So the thing is, I didn't get any of them because almost all of them were rostered in almost every league I was in. There was some Benny Snell. I don't think I was in one league where Josh Kelly, Malcolm Brown, or Nyheim Hines were available. I couldn't believe that. Maybe our stupid 10-team league, Heath, that we already have the worst team in the world.
Did you do waiver claims for
I
that
did.
League?
Yeah.
Good. Thanks.
I put in one waiver claim. I don't know if we got anyone. But our team sucks. We need Miles Sanders back.
I did pick up Robbie Anderson in a couple of leagues.
I picked up Traquan Smith in a couple of leagues where I couldn't get Robbie Anderson or Mike Williams or any other receivers just to speculate. We know that he's got a window to finally prove himself. I learned something interesting. He's played 27 games. He's had only 11 where he's had three or more targets. He has 8 touchdowns in those 11 games. I wonder if he could end up being a
Traquan Smith
replacement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's never really had an opportunity like this because Michael Thomas never gets hurt. And now here he is, presumably the number one outside receiver for the New Orleans Saints.
We have a team named Zero Flex Given in our podcast for the People League. That's good.
It's a great name.
Oh, Heath, we got John Brown for $3. We dropped Jalen Reagor.
I picked up Mike Williams for $3 in another league, so I'm pretty happy about that.
You know,
those are both good moves.
Robbie Anderson, like another guy who had kind of a long, fluky-ish, not total. Mm-hmm. Like he can make plays. You know, sometimes it's going to happen.
That's what Robbie Anderson does.
But Curtis Samuel got the same amount of targets as Robbie Anderson.
Christian
McCaffrey got very few targets.
The thing is, like we've seen Robbie Anderson for 4 years in the NFL now, and when he gets targets, he's a very good wide receiver. Curtis Samuel has mostly been bad as a wide receiver in the NFL. So I like if you're telling me Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson are both getting 7 to 8 targets or 6 to 8 targets per week, I would assume Robbie Anderson's going to be a top 25 wide receiver and Curtis Samuel's going to be a low end flex.
All right, I'm going to lay it down right now. There is no way Robbie Anderson is going to be a top 25 wide receiver.
Okay.
I think there's absolutely a way it could happen. Happening.
Like he was a top 25 receiver on the Jets.
You overrate him once, so severely. Once. Like
I don't think he's necessarily a bad receiver. I think he's played with bad quarterbacks.
Yes.
He's the other side of the Allen Robinson rainbow, where Allen Robinson has done really good things with bad quarterbacks. Robbie has not, because the quarterbacks have just been bad, and he's just not as good of an all-around receiver as Allen Robinson. He's faster than him. But this Panthers offense, they did in week one what we thought they would do, and that's throw quite a bit. Lots of short and mid-range throws.
They only threw 34 times. That was a weird thing.
That still seems like a lot to me for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, well, it's no Carson Wentz, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later. 8 straight games with 40 or more pass attempts, 9 straight with 39 or more pass attempts, and we will get into that. All right, player debates. So let's go running backs. Austin Eckler versus Kenyon Drake versus Jonathan Taylor. Austin Eckler versus Kenyon Drake versus Jonathan Taylor.
What is this for? Week two or rest of season
Rest of season. How would you rank them? Eckler, Drake, Taylor?
Taylor's first.
Yeah, good then.
Oh, I gotta finish this.
Yeah.
Drake and then Eckler. And I'm not saying that Eckler's bad and, you know, get him off your team. He's terrible for your fantasy chances, but I feel a little bit better about Drake and I feel really good about Taylor.
Yeah, I'd probably go Eckler, Taylor, Drake.
You still have Eckler one over Taylor.
Yeah.
Talk about that because people are a little worried about Austin Eckler and the one target.
Yeah, and I did lower my expectation for his receiving potential based on that one game, but I didn't like crater it to where I think he's getting one target a game now. Right. I still expect him to be more involved in the passing game than he was. I love the fact that they gave him that many carries. Listen, if he's going to be a 20 touch a game back, then even if most of those are rushes, he can still be worthy of a first round pick. We made Joe Mixon a first round pick this year.
Okay. Adam Thielen versus Calvin Ridley versus Chris Godwin. Thielen, Ridley, and Godwin. How would you rank them?
I don't think I would change anything. Godwin, Ridley, Thielen.
Godwin, Ridley, Thielen, but they're very, very close in the rest of season rankings. In fact, Godwin and Ridley are in a dead heat in non-PPR.
If you guys along the way see any buy lows or sell highs that you want to discuss in these groups, you know, fire away. It sounds like Eckler would be one.
Eckler would be one. Can we pick names that aren't necessarily in the groups but might be near them?
Sure.
Or do we strictly have to go with the names that you're giving?
No. I mean, Wednesday shows are trade shows, so.
Okay. So. Allen Robinson, after 1 week and now all this trade talk rumorage, I think that you could make the case that he's a little by low.
Okay.
Some people might be disenchanted after 1 week.
Jared Cook versus Noah Fant versus Austin Hooper. Jared Cook, Fant, Hooper. How would you rank them?
Fant is first. And then I'm probably going to have to say Cook and then Hooper. Cook, because of the Thomas injury, does have a chance to be a steady starter.
Yeah, I'd say Fant, Cook, big gap. Bigger gap. Ginormous gap.
It's the Grand Canyon, everybody.
Well, I put Hooper on there because Njoku's out now, so I didn't know if maybe that made you more confident.
Harrison Bryant had the same number of targets as Austin Hooper in week one.
I just used the same voice to describe the Grand Canyon as I did Turf Toe.
But, like, do you think... come on, they spent a lot of money on Austin Hooper. It's one game. You know, Harrison Bryant's not going to have the same amount of targets as Austin Hooper this year.
They spent, a third-round pick on Harrison Bryant?
They spent a lot of money on Austin Hooper.
Day three pick on Harrison Bryant.
I don't think he will have the same number of targets as Austin Hooper. I do think that when they have a lead, they're going to run the ball even more than they did against Baltimore. And I don't think there are enough targets for Austin Hooper. Like, Dave thought that he or said earlier before in the preseason that Austin Hooper would be the red zone guy and score touchdowns and make up like an Eric Ebron type year from a couple of years ago. And that could still happen. I'm not saying give up on Austin Hooper. I don't think anybody though has made the argument that he might get 6 targets a game like he was in Atlanta.
Right.
And so he's quite a ways behind these guys.
So I've gotten a lot of tweets saying, can I dump Austin Hooper already? I don't feel like he's going to do anything. And there's, you know, a bunch of tight ends on the waiver wire. And I'm also getting the same type of tweets about Hayden Hurst. And I came around on this and put Hurst ahead of Hooper in the preseason. And I imagine that if you clearly see a better tight end on the waiver wire, someone who impressed you in week one, who has the chance to continue impressing, Cook and Fant being two right off the top of my head, TJ Hockenson would be a third, make the switch. go ahead, because I don't think there's going to be a mad. This is for Hooper. Make the switch. Hurst, I'm not quite as, I feel as good about. I'd almost rather to carry Hurst and the other tight end, but I don't think there's going to be a mad rush to go get Austin Hooper off the waiver wire at this point. Remember, he was getting drafted late. So if you're nervous about him, you can move on from him already.
All right, next up, Todd Gurley versus Melvin Gordon versus Chris Carson. Gurley, Gordon, Carson. How do you rank them?
Carson, Gurley, Gordon.
Carson, and I've got Gordon one spot ahead of Gurley, and I believe it's because of the Philip Lindsay injury.
What about this schedule for Gordon? Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Jets, Patriots, next four games.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Could be a lot of touches.
Could try and sell high on Melvin Gordon, but I think a halfway savvy fantasy manager will not pony up a ton. I've got him as the same value as Michael Thomas.
And I would see if I could trade Melton. This is going to sound ridiculous to us probably, but I think it will work in some leagues. I would try to see if I could trade Melvin Gordon for Austin Eckler.
No, it's not ridiculous at all. I mean, you know, Gordon's coming off a strong game, and
you got to throw in something else with it. And if you do, I think it can happen.
He's coming off a strong game, and it might not be a great idea. I mean, he might be a really good running back this year, but you have to get, but Eckler obviously could too. I mean, in general, selling Melvin Gordon. But no, these matchups really suck for him, and that is a shame. So it doesn't sound like you guys are too concerned about Chris Carson only getting six carries.
What I said on HQ yesterday at noon was that if you could turn Chris Carson into Joe Mixon, that would be outstanding. Because you have to be a little worried about him only getting six carries. Catching touchdowns is not something that we have come to know Chris Carson for. Although he is the best pass-catching back that Seattle has right now, it's kind of weird to think of him as consistently getting that amount of work and certainly that type of touchdown. I mean, even one touchdown every three games through the air would be ridiculous for him. I was hoping to get more carries from Chris Carson, and we didn't get it.
I was too, and I am like a little bit worried about this committee situation, but I also think that, like, I don't think it's fair to Chris Carson to say, well, he only got six carries in week one, so that's a problem, and there's no way he's getting six receptions every week. Like, we're giving him no credit for the good thing that happened in week one and dinging him for the bad thing that happened in week one. And whereas maybe it's that neither of those things are going to hold up after week one, or both of those things are going to hold up after week one.
But Heath, the Seahawks built a nice lead in this game, and you know,
they did it throwing Carson.
Well, partially, yeah. The two touchdowns early on went to Carson's way, but it's almost like their offensive philosophy changed, and they decided instead of running the football a ton, they wanted their quarterback to do things.
Yep.
And it worked. And maybe that's something that they keep doing, and that might be great to let a certain somebody, quote unquote, cook.
Yep.
It kind of stinks for Chris Carson, because now he's not this, you know, partial centerpiece of the offense that's going to be good for 15 touches a week.
Right. But if they are going to let Russ cook and Chris Carson is the passing downs back, then, like, would you rather have 14 carries and two catches a week, or 10 carries and five catches a week?
I'd rather have 10 carries and five catches per week. That's
so I think that's like, that's what you're hoping, is that it's going to be this more pass centric thing, and Chris Carson's going to be the guy that catches most of the passes, but most weeks it will be like 10 carries instead of six. If it's six every week, I agree, we're Chris Carson fantasy managers are screwed.
I think 10 is also troubling, because he's not going to catch two touchdowns every week.
I think they're probably going to run the ball.
Catches, but what if he only gets 20 yards on the five catches, and then he's only got 8 or 10 carries with it?
If he gets five catches a week, he's catching 80 passes. So we don't, like, it's fine. He's great.
Like, I mean, look, six carries a week, even for a team that's pass happy, they ran very little. So the carries have to come up. I mean, there's like six carries is crazy, and he's better than Carlos Hyde. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Well, look, I'm glad you guys aren't really freaked out about it. So you guys both put Carson ahead of Gurley and Gordon. Let's do one more here. Let's do Josh Allen versus Deshaun Watson versus Matt Ryan. How would you rank Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan?
They are literally back to back to back in the trade chart. Watson, Allen, Ryan.
Watson, Ryan, Allen.
So I don't want to say you're not buying what Josh Allen did, or maybe I am, because it was a career best game for him. He finished as the number one fantasy quarterback. Is that right in week one?
No, Rodgers did.
Rodgers was the best. Allen was really close. He was great. I think the rushing is here to stay after all.
Yeah, the rushing, like the thing that I don't know, it was really weird. Like 80% of their plays in this game were Josh Allen passes or Josh Allen rushes. He threw 46 passes and ran it 14 times. And like on a per pass attempt basis, he was the same guy. He was 6.5 yards per attempt, 4% touchdown rate. Like there was not a statistical improvement in his passing in week one, other than the fact that he threw it 20 more times than he normally gets to. So I just haven't really changed my opinion on Josh Allen yet. If they are going to throw it 40 times a game, then he's obviously going to be awesome.
If they face the Jets every week, he's going to be awesome too.
That's true.
A good point.
Tell you that. All right.
I'm wrestling with whether or not this is an easy matchup for him against Miami. Because maybe it's not going to be quite as easy as everybody believes. Dolphins still have a lot of talent in that secondary. Yeah, and
they do.
You know, Cam didn't throw that much. He had some success when he did throw it. We'll see. I think
just he had a hell of a lot.
Right. That's probably going to be what Josh Allen does. Did you guys watch that game? How much of that game did you guys see?
Bills-Jets?
No, yeah.
Bills-Jets, I saw some. I didn't see. I saw very little of Dolphins.
I'm talking Bills-Jets.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some, and I was like, gosh, Josh Allen, I mean, he's such a better fantasy quarterback than he is an actual quarterback.
Right. So, like, how many of those plays do you think were, like playground-type plays? Like, sometimes I felt like I was watching a kid playing on the street, you know?
Yeah, it's just whether that will work against average defenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing about the Dolphins, like, Cam Newton, he had a lot of rushing yards. He ran for 5 yards per carry, which is his average in his career. And he carried the ball 15 times, which is a career high for him in regulation. So it's not like you look at the Dolphins and say, oh, they did a horrible job against Cam Newton. No, they did what Cam Newton normally does. That was a normal Cam Newton output, but he just had a ton of carries. And their secondary could be really good. Like the Dolphins might not have that bad of a defense. They have a pretty new defense. So I don't
it's
know.
Also it's worth mentioning, and it was very few pass attempts, but he also completed like 75% of his passes and averaged 8 yards per pass attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Like
fair enough.
Very, very efficient on the few passes he did throw.
All right, we got to get some more stuff here, including Cincinnati at Cleveland. We need some Thursday night theme music. We have this Thursday. No, I can't. It's such a silly song.
Seems like this should be like the WKRP theme song.
Yeah. All right, everybody, it's time to preview Thursday night football here with Peach, with Peach Sweaty. How about Thursday night football?
Nope.
All right. Yeah, I need more music. I got to get more stuff. Got to get more stuff.
I got you covered.
Oh yeah.
Na 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 na.
Nah, it's Thursday night football. Okay, Cincinnati at Cleveland. You know, Joe Mixon in two games against Cleveland last year had 49 carries. Not per game, but in those two games. He rushed for more than 140 yards both times. He scored 3 rushing touchdowns in those two games. Baker Mayfield threw 3 touchdowns in week 17, but he also threw 5 interceptions in the two games against the Cincinnati Bengals. You have a lot of players kind of similar in your rankings. Which quarterback do you like better in this game, Burrow or Mayfield, and are either of them starters?
Neither are starters. I will take Burrow ahead of Baker.
I'll start Burrow in a 2-quarterback league.
All right. Okay, so talk to me about the running backs. Who's your favorite running back in this game? Are all 3 of them starters?
I'm starting all 3. They're all in that same range of high-end number 2 running backs, mid-range number 2 running backs. Hunt is actually my favorite, but like this was a situation where Hunt and Chubb were pretty much splitting until it got to garbage time, and then it was just Hunt. It was actually after Chubb fumbled, but I don't think we have to worry about Chubb not getting the ball because one fumbled. They both fumbled. I just expect pretty close to even workload for Hunt and Chubb on the ground and more passing game work for Hunt. So I'll take Hunt.
Do you think Kareem Hunt is the better rest of season running back?
In full PPR, I do.
I'm not ready to say that. Not even in full PPR. I don't know. I have a tough time gauging these guys because what I thought would happen is seemingly happening. They both, I think Hunt played one more snap than Chubb, and maybe that was because of all the work he did late in the game when it was meaningless. But I still see this team, I still see Chubb as a slightly more useful running back for the Browns outside of garbage time and the 2 minute drill. And I struggle with it. I think that they could both have a really good game, but I don't know if it's, I don't know their rhyme or reason for using them yet or how they go about using them yet. And it forces me to keep them in this number two running back range, which is where they both are. And because I'm not quite certain just how many carries and how many touches there will be for them, I put Mixon ahead of them, even though I, for now, I don't love it, but it's probably going to be the way that I leave it. Mixon, Chubb, Hunt.
Love it or leave it. Yeah.
Love it or list it.
So,
I do have Mixon projected for more touches. It's just I have him with 18 or 19, and I have Chubb and Hunt both with 16. So
it's negligible then between the two.
Well, then, like, how confident can you be, Heath, in having Odell Beckham? I think you have him in your top 20. Everybody seems to have Beckham as a start this week.
I was like, I know, and then I wrote about this in the wide receiver preview. I know that Beckham was terrible on the targets he received, but I was actually pretty encouraged by the fact that he got 10 targets and just dominated everyone else in terms of team target share. He's the best wide receiver on the team, we hope, like if he's Odell Beckham still. And so I'm not going to hold his inefficiency in 1 week against the Baltimore freaking Ravens against him.
Right.
I'm going to be encouraged by the fact that he got 10 targets. I'm going to expect him to dominate targets against the Bengals. The Bengals defense is not particularly good, maybe not awful. And I expect him to bounce back.
And you know what? He didn't look like he did last year. He looked better. He was running a lot smoother than he did last year. You could tell that he's playing injury free right now, but I feel Baker is the problem. Mm-hmm. And it feels like Baker's better chemistry with Landry than he does with Odell, even though he's trying to get Odell going. I mean, an example of it, just for whatever this is worth, garbage time, Baker had Odell free wide open running down the field for a bomb touchdown late in the game, overthrew him. Like I'd figure that a quarterback and receiver who've been together for over a year would have that play down pat.
All right, so let's do some rankings. Let's figure out who we're starting these guys over. First of all, in terms of just flexes, who's the best? You've got three running backs worth starting and four wide receivers that, you know, people might want to start. So who's the best flex just of this group?
I would say Hunt.
I would say AJ Green.
Over Mixon?
Oh, no. Who's flexing Joe Mixon?
No, I just mean who's the best player of these seven fantasy relevant players? Three running backs, four wide receivers.
I think Mixon is probably the one.
Okay. Who's your favorite wide receiver in this game?
AJ Green.
Yeah.
Must start?
Yeah.
I would hesitate to say that just because you drafted him in the sixth or seventh round. And so if you took a couple wide receivers in the first couple of rounds, you're probably starting those guys over him. Like I would start Calvin Ridley over him. I'd start Lockett and Tyreek and those guys, but he's a top 20 wide receiver.
The Browns secondary is in terrible shape right now. They've got Denzel Ward and a bunch of junk.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, listen, their number two cornerback is out. Their number three cornerback is out. Their safeties aren't very good. It's going to have to take their pass rush getting to Joe Burrow, which can happen, but they're going to have to do it a lot to really slow down this offense. And like I said earlier in the show, AJ Green looked good in week one. Yeah. Didn't look like a 30-something wide receiver who's been hobbled the last year and a half.
What about Jarvis Landry and Tyler Boyd?
I don't want to.
I do with Boyd. for the same reason as AJ Green. And the nice thing about it is he actually can get those short area targets this week because he's not matched up against Chris Harris. Harris wiped him out. It's crystal clear if you go back and you watch the game that Harris did a great job covering Tyler Boyd when they were locked on each other. He's going from maybe the toughest draw for slot receivers to maybe the easiest this week on a short week.
I don't really know why you're so low on Jarvis Landry.
I'm not. I think he's a good flex.
Heath has him 48th. I think this might be in PPR.
Are we sure that Jarvis Landry is 100%?
I don't know. I mean, he
no, he's not. He's on the injury report.
Okay, but he outperformed Beckham again, just like he did all of last year. You know, he only had 6 targets, but he caught 5 of them for 61 yards, and he's Baker's guy, it seems.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he was definitely much more efficient than Beckham was, but if he was Baker's guy, I would think that he would have been the one with 10 targets, and Beckham would have been the one with 6.
Well, but last year, I mean, he was Baker's guy, and he was Baker's red zone guy in particular.
He was last year.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, I just feel like it kind of deserves a little more respect than being 48th, but you just don't think he's health. Is that the health thing?
It's mostly the health thing for me.
Fair enough. That works. All right, so let's do this. James Robinson, Benny Snell, Nyheim Hines, Malcolm Brown. Who am I forgetting? Josh Kelly. Like, where do they factor in with all the players we talked about? Hunt, Mixon, Chubb, Green, Beckham, Boyd, Landry.
The only one who comes close for me is Snell. I think Snell could be in the same conversation as Kareem Hunt, especially in non-PPR, maybe even in PPR too. If James Conner's out, Benny Snell is going to be the main guy against a Denver defense that's traveling after playing on Monday, and the defense was on the field for over 70 snaps.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't know about Connor probably by Thursday.
Well, listen, if Connor doesn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday, I think that that's a pretty good sign, and I'd feel a little optimistic about going with Snell over Hunt.
Mm-hmm. What about James Robinson?
I would start Hines over Boyd and Landry for sure, and he's right in the same range in flex discussions as Beckham.
What about James Robinson?
Non-PPR, I would start him over Boyd and Landry. PPR, he's behind all of these guys.
Okay. All right, so let's move on. I was going to get some risers and fallers from you, but I really want to read emails and get to some Apple Podcast questions because we pretty much never
do that. Let's do that.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, all right, let's go to emails. I'll save some stuff for tomorrow. Talk about some players who have good schedules and bad schedules. Emails from Theo. I was offered Saquon Barkley for Josh Jacobs straight up in a PPR league. Who would you rather have, Saquon or Jacobs?
Saquon, but it's very close.
Yeah, Saquon.
From Matthew, give up Chris Carson, get Odell Beckham. Grade the trade.
I think I'd rather have Carson.
C minus.
C is average, so C minus is the way of saying, I think I'd rather have Carson. This is from Dave and Flint. I drafted Kamara and Murray in my full PPR league this year. I'm wondering what you think about starting both Kamara and Murray. Once the Saints were on top, Kamara was gone and Murray took over. Yeah, Murray had 15 carries. Kamara had 12. What do you think? Can we start both guys in the Saints backfield?
You could. I would prefer to do it when the matchup is really, really favorable, like maybe against the Raiders. I think that would qualify, especially with no Michael Thomas there. You could get away with it this week if you don't have a better running back to start ahead of Murray.
This is from...
Plus, it's a revenge game for Latavius.
Oh, right. Yeah. Scuba Steve from New Jersey. I currently have Benny Snell on my bench. The team with James Conner has Joshua Kelly. Would you swap them straight up? Give up Snell for... No?
No. Snell's worth more than Kelly.
Yeah, just... man. Dave's probably right. If James Conner practices tomorrow, then Kelly's worth more than Snell, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If he practices in full and there's just super optimism and Tomlin says, yeah, we're going right back to Connor. Dude, Connor didn't look good. It's so frustrating. He didn't look good and Snell looked great. Like, what are the Steelers supposed to do? They're supposed to ignore that?
Well, the problem
what would Bruce Arians do?
James Connor faced a great run defense and Benny Snell faced that great run defense after James Conner had like softened them up, you know, like when you open a can, like somebody's trying to open a can for like 3 minutes and they can't do it. And then you come in and you pop it open. And they're like, well, I started it for you.
open a can?
Well, you know, like a jar, Popeye? Like a jar, only... a jar. Like, it's like really hard to open, you know. And
if Bruce Arians were the coach of the Steelers, he would have already cut James Conner by now.
He would have told us that Benny Snell's starting week two, and then James Conner would get 20 touches.
No, he would say James Conner is starting week two, and then Benny Snell would get 20 touches.
This is from Waleed in a southwest suburb of Chicago.
Tinley Park.
Dear Billy, Huey, Frenchie, and MM. This is the boys. The boys. Never heard of it. Adam mentioned his draft philosophy regarding Duke Johnson versus Noah Fant. And for those of you who didn't hear that, I dropped Noah Fant for Duke Johnson before the season started because I had Mark Andrews and I wanted some running back depth, and now I hate myself. Waleed says, I changed my strategy this year for late picks in my draft. Will continue to do so for these first few waiver wires. Ignore handcuffs and go for players who you'll immediately find out if they're worth owning or rostering. After the first 2 to 4 weeks, I will start handcuffing and playing for lottery tickets. But every year we have multiple players break out seemingly out of nowhere. I'd rather find those guys than hope for an injury. What are your thoughts?
I was doing that this year with my late round picks in all of the mock drafts we were doing. That's how I ended up with two quarterbacks and two tight ends, sometimes three quarterbacks on some of the teams that we were drafting. It's the double digit rounds. You should already have most, if not all, of your starters by then. Just draft good players who you think can start the season off hot that you can potentially flip.
Yeah. Well, I'll get Heath's take, but I replied to Waleed because he was talking about a 10-team league. And what I said was, in a 10-team league, that's much easier to do. In a 12-team league, all of those handcuffs are going to be rostered. They're going to be drafted because we obsess over them now. And I never really fully bought into that. You know why? Because look at how many tweets I got this week and how many emails we got. Hey, should I drop Chase Edmonds for Malcolm Brown? Hey, should I drop Tony Pollard? Should I drop Boston Scott? That's what I'm trying to talk about the entire freaking offseason. You draft all these handcuffs and they're going to be great. They're lottery tickets. You are going to have to cut them. If the starting running back doesn't get hurt in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, you sit there and try holding on to Tony Pollard or Chase Edmonds, who, yes, he caught a touchdown, but if he didn't catch that touchdown, his workload is a big concern. So, I mean, it's a high-risk, high-reward strategy, but I think in reality, a lot of those guys are getting dropped. So I do think you roster two or three quarterbacks and two tight ends, and you try to hit that guy who breaks out. I think this is a great point and a good email. Heath, what do you think?
Oh, go ahead, Heath.
No, that's fine. Yeah. You are probably going to end up dropping handcuffs. I think I've said that before. I agree with it.
But for every two or three Chase Edmonds and Tony Pollards, there's a Benny Snell or a Malcolm Brown.
Well, Malcolm Brown wasn't a handcuff. He was a week one starter.
He was still a late round pick. He was going after a lot of the handcuffs.
Right.
People were taking Malcolm Brown because, right, it was. Heath, the reason why you were taking Malcolm Brown in all the mocks we did, and you were taking more than anybody, was because you knew that he was starting week one, and let's just see what happens. Well, now look what's happened. And look what's happened in Pittsburgh. And look what's happened in Indianapolis. So there are cases to be made for other handcuffs, and it's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of time, but it's the whole idea is you draft the handcuff hoping that they come into play at some point as a emerging star in fantasy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this kind of goes, look, I said that I took a lot of two tight ends and a lot of two quarterbacks in some of the mocks that we did. I still drafted a lot of running backs as well. The position I didn't draft a lot of for my bench was wide receiver. And now look at the wide receivers that were available on the waiver wire after just 1 week. We could list off five names of guys that are great bench wide receivers for now. And if I wanted to, if I was so inclined, I could drop Latavius Murray in a league where I don't have Alvin Kamara and pick up the there's a league where I had to do something like that because I had Michael Thomas.
Who do you think Dave said that? Dave's internet's, you know, look, we're all working from home and things aren't great. Dave's internet's been a little spotty today, Heath. So which player do you think he said when his internet cut out just there?
What? I said like 10 names.
I would think he said Paris Campbell.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Nope. No, I didn't say Paris Campbell. Okay. All right. Let's move on to this one. A grade the trade from
should I say
Ryan.
My little diatribe again?
No. Ryan
in
says,
the beginning there was the sun.
Dear Joe, Steven, Alex. Oh, I don't know. It's two members of Aerosmith and Alex Smith. Grade the trade. Give up Miles Sanders and Kenny Golladay. Get Zeke and AJ Green. Miles Sanders and Golladay for Zeke and AJ Green. Half PPR.
I love it.
B plus.
B plus or D plus?
B as in boy.
Okay.
A, it's a win if you're getting Ezekiel Elliott.
Brendan from Buffalo. Yeah, but you know what? Like, if Golladay and Sanders play in week two, like, I would have given this trade probably a C minus or a D plus preseason before the injuries.
Well, they are injured now, though.
They are. They are. It's true. Good point. Brendan from Buffalo, full PPR. Give up Benny Snell and Kareem Hunt. Get Terry McLaurin.
D as in dog.
Too much for McLaurin, you think? That's what I'm thinking.
I would rather have Kareem Hunt than Terry McLaurin.
Oh, by himself. I would not. I would rather McLaurin than Hunt. But I think Hunt with Snell is more than what McLaurin is valued at.
Kareem Hunt is our best running back right now on the crappiest 10-team podcast league team you've ever seen. Josh from Richmond, Virginia. Dear Andy, Jim, Dwight, and Michael. We know them. They're from The Office. He's got a 12-team PPR league. Who should I start in my RB2 spot moving forward? Ronald Jones, Nyheim Hines, or J.K. Dobbins?
It's Hines for now, but eventually it'll be Dobbins.
Hines.
All right, some Apple Podcast questions. Excuse me. Joe from God's Country. Should I trade J.K. Dobbins for Nyheim Hines? About that.
No. I'd rather have Dobbins long-term.
I'd much rather have Dobbins on my bench. If you were like had a running back room like Adam and I do, then you might have to consider it.
John from Titletown, grade the trade PPR. Ronald Jones and Alan Lazard for Leonard Fournette and Mecole Hardman. Jones and Lazard for Fournette and Hardman.
C minus.
I think Fournette will eventually be the guy in Tampa.
From Price Baby 12, grade the trade in PPR. Give Melvin Gordon and DK Metcalf. Get Chris Carson and Will Fuller. Melvin Gordon and DK Metcalf for Carson and Fuller. That's interesting.
C plus.
I think it's pretty even. There might be a slight edge toward the Melvin DK side.
And from, I swear I'm not bandwagon. Dear Mark, Jacalyn, Justice, and Gus.
Those are Jacalyn. Baltimore Ravens running backs.
Did not know that the JK was Jacalyn. Okay.
Jacalyn, yeah.
Who do you prefer rest of year, Ronald Jones or Zach Moss?
Moss.
I have no idea.
Okay, so Moss wins. I wanted to know, what did you guys think of Daniel Jones and Drew Lock? We didn't really talk about them. We'll finish on this.
Jones had spurts where he looked great and then he'd do something stupid. Which,
so he looked like Daniel Jones.
He looked like a typical
Jameis Jones
second year quarterback.
Jameis Jones. Let's get that trending. I mean,
he's not as good as Jameis. But,
oh, shut up.
And I'm serious. He's not even close to as good as Jameis. He's not even as talented as
Jameis. He doesn't have as strong of an arm as Jameis.
I don't agree. I think he's terrifically talented.
He's more athletic than Jameis. That's a positive.
I think he's a great passer. Like,
I'd rather have Daniel Jones than Jameis on my team right now.
I'd much rather have Jameis on my team.
On your NFL team, I'd rather have Daniel Jones. But I mean, I call him Jameis Jones for a reason. I suppose it's a pretty apt comparison,
like,
debate.
I know there's hope for Daniel Jones, but as bad as Jameis Winston was last year, Daniel Jones is probably never going to have as good a year as Jameis had last year.
As good, I wouldn't use the word good. As many passing yards, productive again, like 30 interceptions, a lot of pick sixes, and it got his way to becoming a backup quarterback.
We don't get to double count the interceptions
Pick sixes are worse. Like, Aaron Rodgers almost never throws pick sixes. They are horrible plays. And they count for more than regular interceptions. I mean, they're not necessarily fluky when you do it that often.
I think it wasn't that often. Like, it was a lot in one season, but it was still a really rare event, less than 1% of his passes.
It wasn't really a productive season, I don't think, for Jameis. We just threw a lot. It was a pretty bad season, I'd say. In terms of quarterback play?
Okay.
No? You don't agree?
I think it was still probably better than any season Daniel Jones is going to have.
I hope you're wrong, but you could be right. Daniel Jones, like, really makes some great throws. But
he does.
Gosh, he makes some terrible.
So does Jameis Winston.
He was also pressured on more dropbacks than any quarterback in week one, by the way, which I think is partially the line, but mostly the Steelers. Largely the Steelers.
We're losing Dave with our Giants talk.
No, we're talking about quarterbacks. Where did he go? Bye, Dave. What about Drew Lock?
He wasn't bad.
Nothing. Like, it's hard to judge Drew Lock without his number one wide receiver against a very good defense. But it wasn't particularly encouraging, I didn't think.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. You're right. It's a good way of saying it. Okay, I needed to promote a few things and I completely forgot. So send us in your Apple Podcast questions. We will be answering them on our Saturday mailbag show. Make sure you get them, like submit them on Thursday. So we see them by Friday. We record the show on Friday. It airs on Saturday. But get your questions in earlier in the week. And the U.S. Open is here. The First Cut Golf Podcast has you covered for the second major of the year. The First Cut crew is coming at you with two preview episodes full of picks and DFS analysis, plus round-by-round recaps after every day of action at Winged Foot. The First Cut Golf Podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. So go download and subscribe today. All right, we're out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot for listening. Why did you leave, Dave? We'll have to talk about that after the show. I'm very disappointed, didn't you? Talk to you tomorrow.
No, not the first time.
Starter sit. Turf toe. Later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.